David, come on. Ed, we told you a few weeks ago, we had to give you notice because we knew it hurt some people and you had to get used to it, you see. Because Eddie's retiring from being an elder of the church and from doing the notices every morning. We've got some young ladies stepping into his shoes to do that. And
much prettier than me.
Yeah, definitely. and also, you know, other people will need to step up because as a leaders, all of us get older. New leaders have got to step up to the mark, step up to the plate. We've said a few weeks ago, Bert has now joined us on the eldership team. But we want to say thank you to this man who has given so much. We don't even know how much. It's been so long, nobody knows the time. But it's 20 years at least, isn't it? And that's wonderful. So, Eddie, we bless you. We say thank you for all that you've done. And I know you're still going to bless us. You're just having a bit of a rest, that's all. Just resting. You'll probably come back at 80. All right. But David, have you got a present for Eddie?
A card and a present.
Praise God. Something to remember by, that's all. Thank you. Lord, we just want to say thank you for all that Eddie's done among us all these years. And thank you, Lord, for all that he's got to come. Lord, make the times ahead more exciting than what's gone before. But Lord, we're just saying thank you now for what's gone. We're full of gratitude this morning. We came into your house full of gratitude. We're going to go out even more grateful people than we came in. And we just thank you for this mighty man of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
So in the beginning, so we're going to read the Bible. I like what the Message says. The Message says, first this. Yeah? Have you read? I don't know if you've read the Message. But the Message Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, two words, first this. And if you can get this, nothing else is going to be difficult for you. Everything else will fall into place. Because if this is true, everything else is easy for God from there onwards, isn't it? First this. So what does my Bible say, which is actually not the Message, it's the New Living Translation. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. En el principio creó Dios los cielos y la tierra. In any language you like, that was Spanish, any language you like, it's the same thing. In the beginning, first this, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, I love it, God spoke, and he mixed his words with faith. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed. And morning came, the first day. Hallelujah. Our God is a God of purpose. A God of plan. He's got a plan. He's always got a plan. There's a huge plan. We don't see all of it. We see little bits of it that appertain to us. But God's plan covers everything. He's a God with an objective. He's a God of objectivity. A God of design. And no true Christian, listen, no true Christian can believe that they are not a part of that plan and that design. No Christian can believe that they're the result of some accidental explosion of gas in space and then a long transition of many accidental things from green slime to fishes that grew legs that crawled out of the water that started swinging around in the trees and finally designed a BMW and learned how to drive it. Come on! Can you be a Christian and believe that twaddle? The answer is no. You cannot. God had a plan and a purpose. Over the next 5 days, we can't cover all the days for time's sake, but over the next 5 days, God did the rest of the creation and then he rested. But what was God's purpose in all of that? Let's read the words of the prophet, a prophet who lived many, many centuries, thousands of years. I don't know. I don't know about these days, 7 days. I don't know if there were 24-hour periods. If there wasn't a sun, how did you measure it? But I know God could have done it in 7 24-hour periods if he wanted to. But I don't know about that. And the Bible's not clear about that. And nobody can tell you yes or no on that. Because you can only have A day is only 24 hours long on planet Earth. How long is it on Jupiter? Not the same. So, Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 45 verse 18 says this. I love this. This is one of my favorite verses. You've probably heard me read this verse before. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I was linking it to my pond. I know I've told you about my pond before. The first thing I did when I moved into our house 5 years ago, first thing I do when I move into any new house is dig a pond. Why? I don't know. It's the bit of God in me that wants to make a habitat for other creatures to live in, I suppose. Maybe, I don't know. I just do it every time. I've not moved many times. But the first thing I've ever done is, where will I put the pond? And before very long, the spade's in the ground. And yesterday I was looking, and I was just sat by my pond. I put this little fish in about, 5 years ago, 4 years ago. I put 4 of them in, actually 3 of them died. But that wasn't my fault, I still fed them. I don't know where they went. But this one didn't fall on stony ground. This one, 30, 60, 100 fold, it's like this. It's got a head like that. It comes up, oh, it's a great big mouth, and it gets about 5 lumps of food. All the others can just get one in. And it gets, blesses me. It's lovely. It's a koi carp. It's beautiful colours, black and red and white. Gorgeous. But I prepared the ground, I prepared it to be inhabited by those fishes. That's the only purpose of it. I thought, let's have a hole in the ground with water in. No. Where am I going to keep the fish? We brought the fish from the other house. And then we brought them again in buckets. But not this one. I bought this one here. Anyway, what's God's purpose then? God's purpose was that the earth be inhabited. Just like my purpose was that my pond be inhabited. Lived in. But by who? Let's go back to Genesis and chapter 1 and verse 26 says this. Then God said, this is God talking to himself. He said, let us, why us? Because it was three, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Right there. Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And they'll reign over the fish. I do. I reign over my fish. I feed them. I'm careful with them. I'm nice to them. I tend them and I keep them because that's the next instruction. I don't beat them. I'm not a tyrant. I love them. But God says I would rule over them. And I do rule over them. When they look out of the water, they know I rule over them. I can sit by the side scooping that horrible pondweed out with a jar, which I do a lot of times, and they all come fluttering around looking at me. You go there and they'll all be on the bottom. You won't see them because they know me. My fish know my voice. And it's the truth, that. It's true. You do. You say they've got a 3-second memory. No, they've not. I used to have fish in a tank. I used to put food in my mouth and bend over to the tank and the fish would come and take it out. You go in there, the fish goes down on the bottom, at the back, looking. Is that? So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. You're blessed this morning. I am. I am just so blessed this morning. So, so glad to be in the house of God with the people of God. It's just a wonderful blessing. He said, God bless them. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. I've done that, haven't I? I mean, I've done my share. The average white man in this country is having 1.82 children. The average Muslim is having 9.3. I've done my bit. Come on. He said, reign over the fish of the sea. Fill the earth, govern it. Be fruitful, multiply. All the animals that scurry along the ground, all the cattle, all of it, you're in charge. You're the boss. And he's the boss. No, you're the boss. I make you the boss. You're my deputy. I have told you to look after it. And God looked over all that he'd made, and he saw that it was very good. An evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. I think it's really lovely that God saw. At first he says, God said it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. And then when he'd done it all and man was part of the picture, He then says it was very good. We made it for God. We were the ones, that big koi. You know, the other fishes are nice. They are. I love them. But when I see that big koi, ooh, that makes it for me. It's just beautiful. And it's so, you know, majestic. And that's what God sees, you. He loves all the ostriches and the albatrosses and all those things. God loves all that. But when he sees you, he goes, oh, that's very good. Very, very good. Hallelujah. The man who God called Adam. The man who God called Adam. And his wife, Eve. They lived in a garden that God had made for them. A bit like my garden. Things go wrong in the garden. I'll tell you about it in a bit. No, I'll tell you now. 5 years ago, we moved into that garden. And I'll tell you, it was a jungle. It had these things growing this high, at least to that wall deep, all the way around. Where the pond is, you couldn't get near it. Because it was just brambles and these bushes. I don't even know what they're called. They're horrible things, right? And they were all around. I took the sword of the spirit, which is called a machete in this particular case. And I butchered them over about 18 months. It took that long. I chopped them down at the root. But the roots were under the ground. They spread under the lawn, under everywhere, under the paths. Roots this thick. I had to dig them out and twist them and chop at them. But eventually, I got the whole around the garden pretty much free of them. All gone. A bit like our mind, that. Our mind's cluttered up with all the junk that the world's been putting into it year after year after year. All people saying, hey, can't be a God. And if there's a God, why do they... And what comes over the news. Death and destruction constantly. Look at the Manchester Evening News. Look at all the stories. All I want to know is if City bought a new player. But what do I see? Somebody ran somebody over. Somebody stabbed somebody. Somebody did this. And it's all bad. It's all... What's to get in my head? I don't look at it. I see the headlines and think, get rid of that. All our lives, that's going in. All our lives. And then suddenly, Jesus comes in with a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, not a machete. Right? And he transforms our minds. And we're going, wow, I never saw that before. Wow. I tried to read it once, I couldn't understand it. Now I can. The Spirit of God has made it live in me. And your mind's like a new garden. It's wonderful. Well, yesterday I went out. And these things are back. I went in the garage and got the machete. Steffi said, oh, there's no time to do all that now. I said, there's no time to lose. I took me machete. I was there all afternoon. I was sweating. My arm, when I went to bed last night, my arm kept going. While I was asleep. And I butchered him. And I know, right, and there's one, and I'm twisting it out, not with a machete, with like a lopper thing. I'm twisting the root out of the ground. And I am sure I heard it say, you're back, are you? I did. I heard it say that. I did. I don't know if it was in my head. It was the devil on my shoulder or what. And I said, yes, I'm back. And I got my machete. And it's nearly all gone again. But what happens is it comes back in. It tries. And if I left that one more year, I'll tell you what, it'd retake the whole garden again. It would have complete victory over me if I was to let my side down. And our minds are like that. When we come into the kingdom, that same 5 year period, we might come into the kingdom and we live for God and we love God and we go with the people of God and we hear the word and our lives change so dramatically and it's a whole new garden that we're living in. It's as good as the Garden of Eden in here, right? But then things start getting in the way. Got to go here, got to go there. People are saying, oh, you don't still go that. Somebody said, my best friend said it to me, you don't still do that religious stuff, do you? I said, I still love Jesus. He was gone. But they're trying all the time to get the weeds to grow back in around your mind. Well, that's a digression, so I'm not sure I'll finish now. But anyway, that was important. It is important that. It's seriously important. It's probably the most important thing I'm going to say. Keep your mind You know, and when the doubts come, and oh, I just don't have time to read my Bible, and I probably not, oh, it'd be better if I didn't go to church this morning. We don't get too many sunny mornings, do we? No. Well, you don't get any mornings without the sun. Is there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Just stay in the presence of the living God. Anyway, Genesis 6:5. We've moved on. Noah, days of Noah. Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man... Why? Because the weeds have got in. Man has fallen. He's made a big mistake. He's listened to his wife. Listen. Oh, I know. It's Emma then. But that's what happened. I was preaching last week in a church in Preston. And it dawned on me. That's what I'm with Abraham as well. God says to Abraham, you're going to have a son. And he's going to be the blessing for the whole earth. And a bit later on, you know, a few years go by and Sarah's saying, oh, it's not happening, you know. God's not doing it, you know. You keep believing that God fella, but listen, why don't you just go into my maid and then she can have a baby and I'll have it. Call it mine. No, I'm not sure about that, love. Yeah, and nag, 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 nag. And eventually, Steve, you're laughing, but it's true, mate. What happens... These women, they try and control our lives. What we've got to realize is it's we, the men, who've got to carry the can when we get back to God. So if she gets out of line, you say, I'm carrying the can, so I'm making this decision. Now, isn't that you don't listen to her, because sometimes she's sensible. But she wasn't sensible, so she said, let's try this fruit. Abraham listened to his wife and he went into his maid and he birthed Ishmael. Just look at your TV to see how that's working out. Later on, I'm way off track now. Later on, God says, take your son, your only son, the son of promise, Isaac. Take him to a place that I'll show you, to a mountain that I'll lead you to, and sacrifice him there before me. You see what Abraham does next? Sarah, I've just had a chat with God. And God says, can you imagine Sarah? What? Be like Emma. You were doing so well, boy. He didn't ask her. He's learned his lesson. God spoke, Abraham says, okay guy, we're going. Where are we going, Dad? I can see the wood, I can see the fire, I can see the knife, where's the lamb? Son, the Lord will provide himself an offering. And he did. And he did. Because Abraham did what he was told by God. Come on guys, the women are having a prayer meeting next week. That's fine, but you're the ones that God has given the authority to. We do love our women. I'm getting some right looks from these girls. Christine's glowering at me. There was a time. Okay, can I take you as an example, Steve? Please, do you mind? There was a time when Emily was the rightful spiritual leader in your house. Because you were just a baby Christian and you didn't know much about things that you should know about yet. And yet you're learning, right? And so her prayers covered you and brought you through and everything. But then there comes a time when you've now stood up as a mature man and a mature believer. I'm not picking on this. This applies to everybody. I'm just using you because you're the best example I can think of right now where you had a massive, deep, steeped in the faith, godly wife and a husband who at one point was not at all a Christian and was living a struggling life. But then you came into the kingdom. But now... You've read your Bible, you preached the gospel, you're a strong, mighty, mature man of God. So that hierarchy changes. Now you have become scriptural because you're the one with the authority. Right? And she has to recognize you're the head of the house. And that's it. And if that's not the case in your house, girls, then you are the spiritual head. But you still have to be obedient to your husband. And then he'll see. And then he'll come, like Steve. And God will do things in his life. Okay, so Noah was a righteous man. Why? I don't know. God said he was. I don't know why God saved me. But God saved Noah. He said he was a righteous man. He was the only one in the earth who was blameless. What else? What were the other people like? It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent and the thoughts of the heart was evil, only evil, continually. And the Lord was sorry that he'd made men. Can you imagine me being sorry? I'm sorry I made you this fish pond now. I'm sorry I created you fishes. You're all being very rude. You bite one another. You're not nice to the frogs. I'm sick of you. I'm going to destroy you all. I can't do it with a flood, can I? I'll swim off. Can you imagine though, that feeling that God must have had in his heart when all of his children are hurting each other, killing each other, being rude to each other in every way you could conceive. Can you imagine how God's heart feels today when he looks at them sending kites over to burn the crops, destroy the nature reserves? Can you imagine God's heart at this point? But he saw Noah, and he saw a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at that time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Maybe that's the secret. Maybe Noah wasn't better than us, than the rest of us, but he walked in close fellowship with God. Maybe that's the secret. I'll leave you to work that one out for yourself. But let me ask you a question. Do you believe the story so far? Because what we believe, I hope you answered it to yourself. I didn't need you to answer it to me. But do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? The earth was void without form. And God put his man in the garden. And then the man fell. And the wickedness of that fall, the increase of that sin got worse and worse and worse until God looked down and saw his creation and thought, what a mess have I made here. Oh, but there is one guy. Do you believe that? You need to believe that. You're not a Christian if you don't believe that. And that's what's important. That's what the world that we're living in now. You say, oh no, you just got to live the nice Christian life that Jesus advocated. No, you've got to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Thank you, David. I don't believe, if I do believe, that I'm the result of some cosmic accident, that if I evolve by a series of chance events, that my life has no meaning. What's the point of me being here? If I've got no purpose in life, I thought, well, I might as well just live for pleasure. I might as well just have my wicked way, wherever I can, whatever I can do, whatever I can accumulate for me, I should do it. And you'll do the same because we're all selfish. We ain't got no purpose in life. And that's what they teach the evolutionists. I say, you've not got a purpose. It's just an accident. And God says, no, I saw you before I prepared that pond, before I prepared the mountains and the lakes and the forests. I saw you before the foundations of it all were laid, and I had a purpose for you. That's who you are. You choose which one of those you want to believe. Oh, no, I prefer to come out of green slime and crawl. It shows endeavor. No, God made you as you are. And he loves you as you are. He's not keeping you as you are, but he loves you as you are. He was concerned about me. He even loved me enough to hang on a cross. It was bigger and uglier than that, but it was a cross just the same. He died. When I look at the cross, all I see is love, love, love. You like that song? When I stop at the cross, all I see is love, love, love. That's how much he loved me. So in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote this, since we believe that Christ died for all, me and you, and the rest of them that don't know it yet, but he did, since we believe that, we also believe that we have died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised again for them. What we believe is really important. And that's what we're actually talking about today. I know I've got 12 minutes. What we are talking about today is what we believe. There's quite a lot of guys out there and girls too who parrot some stuff that sounds cool or sounds clever that they've heard somebody else say, who got it from somebody else, who got it from somebody else. And I believe, somebody said to me a few weeks ago, well, I believe there's something. Well, there is. Look, this is something, isn't it? No, I believe there's something more than we understand. I thought, yeah, you pick up the Beano, you'll find stuff more than you understand, girl. Of course there is, but find out what it is. I believe there's something. And let your whole life drift by and perish. Of course there's something. Of course there is. Anybody knows that. There's a pain inside you that's saying, heal me. Pour into me. But find it, for goodness sake. Go out and get hold of it. And satisfy your mind. What is this something? Even if you find out in the end for yourself there is no God. Well, at least you know. But fancy going through life not even knowing. I think there's something out there, but I'm not sure what it is. Well, that's just bone lazy, isn't it? Bone lazy. Parrots. And I just tell you this stuff. Listen, we need a truth to build on. We need a foundation. We were talking about this yesterday morning with John Maxwell. The bigger the building, the more the foundation needs to be prepared. And our foundation is what we believe. And I meet Christians who don't actually know what they believe. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But that's why 150 years after the last apostle died, somebody put together a thing called the Apostles' Creed. The apostles didn't write it. It's not in the Bible. And the Bible has the authority over it. And we're going to study it. But somebody needed to say, well, give us it in a nutshell. What do we actually believe? And so, they wrote this, Apostles' Creed. And people said, oh, no, they stole our Hebrew heritage when they wrote. No, they didn't steal nothing. They just told us what they thought was a summary of what the apostles believed. We live under a new covenant, and this is a picture of it. There may be bits I'd like to add to it, actually. It doesn't refer to the Word of God as being the Word of God. I wish it would. I can't go back up 2,000 or 1,850 years and rewrite it. But I'm telling you, the Bible is the Word of God, and it's not in there. So let's put it in for us. The first word is credo. That's a Latin word. It was written in Latin originally. Credo means I believe. I believe. So when you can put your hand on your heart and say, I believe, you better know what it is you're affirming, because the principalities and powers are listening. All your neighbors are listening. Your family are listening. You're listening. Your own spirit is hearing you say, I believe. So when people say these stupid things, they're putting that in their heads. And they finish up loonies, don't they? They finish up believing all that stuff. I believe is important. What do you believe? Because there are many things that we can believe, aren't there? Some are very trivial. They don't really matter. For instance, I believe England are going to win the World Cup. I'm the only person who does. I don't matter. I do. I've got faith in them young lads. Jesse Lingard, Raheem Sterling. I think they'll do it. Gun or no gun. Don't care. I believe it. But really, this belief is kind of born out of wishful thinking, isn't it? It's born out of what I'd like to see, isn't it? And we'll find out in about 5 or 6 weeks, won't we? And you can laugh. I don't mind. I heard somebody say the other day, I believe all people are basically good. Well, you better open your eyes, because some of them are just not. And the Bible says there are none righteous, not one. Oh no, I believe it's good in all people. All people are good. Yeah, I can see that. See, I'm throwing them missiles over the fence. No, don't go there. You know all the horrible things that go on, even in our own land. Every day, horrible. Some people are not nice. And there ain't no good. They can be good if they'll turn from their wicked ways, and if they'll seek God's face, and if they'll repent of their sins, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse them from all that unrighteousness, and then they can be good. But not till then. There ain't nobody good without the blood of Jesus. There is, some people think, well, you know, what you believe is really important. I believe. John speaks about this quite a lot, John Maxwell, and you know, I'll believe it and I'll confess it and I'll keep believing it and I'll keep confessing it and it will come to pass. Okay, so I'm believing for a Rolls Royce then. I've been believing, well, I haven't actually, I don't want one. But it won't come to pass. I won't get a Rolls Royce if I believe till I'm blue in the face. England probably won't win the World Cup if I believe till I'm blue in the face either. But I can believe and I can confess and I can confess. Oh, brother, don't confess those negative waves. Only speak the truth, the positive truth as you see it in the future. No, that don't make no difference to anything. There is a measure of it. Psycho people will tell you that if you keep confessing something that is achievable and believable and it does something in your head that begins to make you move towards it. In other words, you take action. Yeah, it will work. It's no good speaking negative stuff all the time. That will work. That'll get you right down in the dumps. But it's not magic words. It's not even magic believing. Right? There has to be action. And you have to take the action. So if you're sitting there waiting for the promise of God to come to pass in your life, forget about it. If God says get up and go get it, and it's coming. It's on its way. You've got to do the action. There was a guy came to Jesus and he says, my daughter's dying and I need you to heal her. And Jesus was probably going to say, okay, well, let's go heal her then. But before he did, the servants arrived and he said, oh, don't bother the teacher anymore. She's already dead. Don't bother the teacher. Jesus wasn't bothered. Jesus was quite happy to speak to that man. And he wasn't fazed by their negative waves either. Shut your mouths. And he brought that woman, that young girl, back from the dead. What did he say to Jairus? Only believe. Only believe. Right? But there was still action. Jairus didn't do the action. Jairus did the believing. Jesus did the action. And there will be times when you need a miracle, when it's beyond your control and you need God to do a miracle. But most of the time in our everyday life, you believe and you do the action as well. And God will be with you and he'll support you and he'll help you. But that's the way it is. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We can't win the World Cup for England, but we can cheer them on. Aren't we? Political beliefs. I'm not going to go there. I've got too little time. But people make decisions on the political spectrum. There's a polarization going on right now. People are being pushed so far to the left or so far to the right. People on the left are accusing everybody in the middle of being fascists, racists, all sorts of things. It's just minds playing games with each other. What you believe. But what you believe could mean the next 30 or 50 or 100 years in slavery to some totalitarian system. If you believe it enough and vote for it. At the next general election, which isn't too far away, it can make a big difference what you believe. A big difference. But the only thing that's going to make an eternal difference, because you know that government, whatever government gets in, he might be there for 5 years, 10 years, might be like Chairman Mao in China 60 years later, and it's not all disaster. Because the Chinese are still trying to rule the world, just trying to rule it a different way. But you know what? When they took over the Gang of Four, Chairman Mao and his cronies, there was a million Christians in China, but now they reckon there's nearly 100 million, and there'll be more Chinese proper Christians, not the world's counterfeit, not the ones who have to go to the official church, that's a counterfeit church, right? The real church, the underground church, the real believers, tongue-talking, you know, healers and all the rest of it, there's nearly 1 million. They reckon there's more of them than what there are little people carrying that little red book of Chairman Mao around. There's more members of the real true church of God in China than what there are members of the Communist Party. Because God's in control. So if it did come the worst to the worst and we finished up with one of them communist governments here, God will still be in control and the church will have to go underground, but it'll still thrive because God's the boss. Not Jeremy Corbyn or John McConnell. And it doesn't take too many. Somebody was worried the other day and he told me that there's a prayer meeting next week. There's one here, isn't there? But, and there are quite a few women's ones around the country, but there's a prayer meeting in Birmingham and there's only about 5,000 Christians going to be there. Every week in Birmingham, 72,000 Christians Muslims meet for prayer. Every week. 2 weeks after this Christian prayer meeting, when there might be 5,000 if they're lucky, there's going to be 150,000 Muslims praying in this big prayer meeting. Are we scared? Not a bit. Because none of them really know what they believe. They can't understand the language it was written in. Most of them have joined because they have to. Because if you don't join, we'll kill you. And if we don't kill you, we'll tax you. And we'll treat you as third-class citizen anyway. They don't believe. They've got no faith. And that's why the Bible says one of us will put 1,000 to flight. And two of us will put 10,000 to flight. Because we've got faith. The real faith of the living God. Not some black stone in Mecca. So our enemy can come as he wants. He can come as a flood. But the Spirit of the Lord will rise up against him. Hallelujah. Right. I'm going to finish. I could go on for another half hour at least. But I'm respectful of your time. So, I'm going to say what you believe is important. Do you believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? If you do, he also made a way into the earth, and it's the only way in. Nobody ever comes in on a spaceship. If they do, they won't be members. We won't let them join. The only way in is through the womb of a woman. The only gateway. And God, who could create heaven, create the universe, as vast and awesome as it is, created a way where he could enter the earth legitimately and legally through the womb of a virgin and live a spotless life, not just as an example, although it was the best example we'll ever see, but that spotless life could be laid on an altar like Abraham was willing to lay Isaac on the altar, that Father God was willing to lay his only son on the altar for our sins. And 3 days later, to rise again victorious and as a man in heaven for you right now. If you believe that, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen.